This is physical therapist Ken Miller, a member of the Home Health Section of the American Physical Therapy Association and the Section's Practice Committee. Welcome to today's short podcast on pulse oximetry, and thanks for joining us. First, a disclaimer. These podcasts are intended to provide professionals with some guidance on a variety of confusing regulatory issues, but please keep in mind that regulations change over time. Regulators issue updates, and some regulations, such as state practice acts, may trump other regulations. As a professional, it is your responsibility to familiarize yourself with regulatory resources and documents, making certain that you have accurate and current information. While we can help to familiarize you with the regulatory references and rationales, you should always go to the regulatory source for clarifications and the final word. The use of pulse oximetry in the home has become a topic of debate for at least the past 9 years or so. To quote Roger Herr, past president of the Home Health Section and champion on this topic, the need for home health agencies to obtain physicians' orders to use pulse oximetry is urban legend based on a Joint Commission surveyor's interpretation and not on CMS regulations, end quote. The process of clarifying the use of pulse oximetry in the home has taken several years to where we are now. Just so everyone listening to this podcast leaves with the same message, those new to this topic and those that have been involved from the beginning should be aware of where the misconception came from and how the APTA and the Home Health Section leadership worked to clear up the confusion. The Home Health Section listserv contains 265 posts related to the search term pulse ox, starting on May 29, 2002. From then until now, about twice a year, a conversation on the need for orders to use pulse ox machines is raised. And then several posts are placed debating both sides of the issue. The Home Health Section leadership heard these posts and frustrations from the membership and acted to clear up the confusion. Listen to the following letter posted by Craig Moore, past president of the Home Health Section, on July 11, 2008. Dear members, due to the most recent discussion regarding the use of pulse oximeters by therapists in the home, I thought that it would be a good idea to provide everyone with a frame of reference for what the section and the APTA have done in the past and an update as to where we are currently on this issue. As you might be aware, the requirement by Joint Commission surveyors that physical therapists have a referral to use a pulse oximeter in the home is really an FDA definition use and Joint Commission's interpretation of these definitions. APTA practice did write a letter to Joint Commission to address this issue. The Joint Commission response included the following, and I quote, "Although the rationale for your position on the use of pulse oximeters is logical and well-supported, the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, has taken a much narrower view on practitioners' prerogatives in the use of pulse oximeters," end quote. In reviewing the Joint Commission response, APTA staff noted that the FDA interpretation appeared to deal with the ordering or prescription of pulse oximetry, not the use of it by a licensed practitioner. The irony is that pulse oximeters are classified as Class II devices, the same classification as a stethoscope and a blood pressure cuff, for which the FDA controls the sales of these devices, but again, not their use by a licensed professional. A follow-up letter was sent to Joint Commissions requesting a clarification of their original question to the FDA. APTA staff have yet to receive a response, despite sending additional requests. Joint Commission also indicated in their original response that, quote, "If you, APTA, are successful in persuading the FDA to take a more enlightened position, I encourage you to contact us again," end quote. APTA continues to believe that the Joint Commission interpretation is not appropriately applied to physical therapy. Several years ago, the section did solicit feedback from members during CSM and via the listserv regarding experiences with JACO citations due to the use of pulse oximeters by PTs in home health without a physician's order. We asked members to forward their experiences and feedback to the APTA practice department in an effort for practice to get a better understanding of the scale and scope of the problem to warrant the time and manpower, APTA staff, legal counsel, etc., needed to continue to address the issue. Sufficient time was given to collect feedback, but very little was received, resulting in a decrease in the prioritization of this issue. Craig Moore, PT, Home Health Section President. So that letter was posted July 11, 2008. Then on June 1, 2009, the APTA received a statement from the Joint Commission, which was subsequently forwarded to the Home Health Section and posted to the Home Health Section website on June 26, 2009. To find the post yourself, check out the website at www.homehealthsection.org. Look to Practice Reimbursement tab, then click on Regulatory and Legislative News. At the bottom is listed a resource of the most recent discussion entitled The Joint Commission and Pulse Oximetry Orders. The following is what was posted, and I quote, "The Joint Commission and Pulse Oximetry Orders, posted 6/26/2009. APTA notified the Home Health Section this morning that they received the following from Dr. Robert Wise of the Joint Commission on Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations, the Joint Commission, formerly JACO, on June 1, 2009, regarding pulse oximetry orders in home care. After review of the material you sent and discussion with our standards interpretation group, I determined that a physical therapist does not require the order of a physician to use pulse oximeter unless that order is required by state law, practice act, or prohibited by the responsible healthcare organization. Per Joint Commission standards, this position is true for all settings. Home Health Section members and leadership provided critical initiative information and cooperation to APTA on this issue. Thanks to members from both the section and the APTA for patience and examples from clinical practice. As this is not a written standard, if now or in the future your organization or agency is cited by the Joint Commission for not having a pulse oximetry order, please get in touch with the APTA's Department of Practice as they can provide the needed support on this issue." So, and I end quote there. So, according to the Joint Commission, physician orders are not needed for therapists to use pulse oximeters. So this ends the story of the pulse ox? No, not so fast. While CMS does not have any regulations requiring physicians' orders for the use of pulse oximetry, it may be best practice to have pulse ox orders for interpretations of the results of the pulse ox readings for the more frail and medically compromised patients, as we would also have these orders for blood pressure and other vital signs. State practice acts may have regulations requiring MD orders for the use and or for the interpretation of the pulse ox findings. Please check your state regulations to be sure. For example, when blood pressure readings are taken, they must be compared to a standard. Is the pressure too high or too low? What are the actions required based on the readings outside of acceptable ranges? The same is true for heart rate. When blood pressure, heart rate, and or pulse oxygen saturation readings are out of normal reference values, what actions need to be taken by the healthcare professional? Call the physician, initiate emergency 911 protocols, and or have the patient use their supplemental oxygen? These actions need to be spelled out. The monitoring of any vital sign is based on best practice, clinical guidelines, physician orders, and regulations. The physical therapy profession is moving towards a doctoring profession and autonomous practice within the Vision 2020 statement of the APTA. With this in mind, it is within the scope of practice for physical therapists to interpret what appropriate actions to take for a patient with a pulse ox reading of 82% at rest, or does the therapist need a cookbook for each and every decision to be made? To be truly autonomous and professional, the therapist will be able to make these decisions, and when clinically necessary, based on the art of science and practice, consult with other healthcare professionals. As for the use of pulse oximetry, back in 2005, in November, the APTA Board of Directors adopted the document, Minimum Required Skills of Physical Therapist Graduates at Entry Level. That's a revised title. As a core document to be made available to stakeholders, including the Commission on Accreditation in Physical Therapy Education, physical therapist academic programs and their faculties, clinical education sites, students, and employers. The final document that follows defines minimum required skills of physical therapist graduates at entry level. In this document, under cardiovascular pulmonary tests and measures section, pulse oximetry is included, along with heart rate, respiratory rate, pattern and quality, blood pressure, aerobic capacity, functional and standardized, such as the 6-minute walk test, breath sounds, normal, abnormal, and the response to exercise using RPE. Pulse oximetry is included in entry-level physical therapist education and training and is also found in the Guide to Physical Therapist Practice. Pulse oximetry is part of the scope of practice of physical therapists, minimally at the entry level. So in the best interests of our patients, we should use pulse oximeters when appropriate for monitoring, as we would take any other vital sign, without hesitation. Asking ourselves, do I need an order to do this, is not best practice at best and potentially harmful at worst. Thank you from the Practice Committee for listening to this podcast.